Aloha, and welcome to Global Family Live. I'm your host, Kay Snow Davis, and we have a very special guest with us tonight, Dr. Deborah Yerman. So no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is just for you. So relax, take a deep breath. Now breathe in your aliveness. Now let your breath out and release all the stress of this day. Breathe in love. And now release your breath in gratitude. You know, these moments that we take, and literally that's all we need, is a moment to just recenter ourselves in this amazing, amazing time of transformation and change. It appears to me, with my international clientele and all of the activities that are happening each day, I think, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing day. And then I notice the next day I'm thinking the same thing. So if you're noticing that life is faster and different and maybe more chaotic and more exciting and more of everything, I want you to know that's what I'm noticing. I'm noticing this internationally. So I'd say this is the e-ticket ride, that in this magic kingdom on this planet, we bought this e-ticket. And the e-ticket, in case you don't remember that, at Disneyland meant you could buy one ticket and ride any ride. So that seems to be what's happening in some of these rides that we're on. Each day, we didn't even know existed. Or we had determined before, man, I don't want to do that ride because that's just too risky, or it's just too out there, or it's too boring. But it seems like every variety of ride is available for us now. So as I worked with my clients this week and listened to some amazing stories of life, the one piece that I see that's being provided for each of us at this time is how to stay centered in a world that seems to be so reactionary and so polarized and so powerfully positioned in whatever belief system or tradition or culture or religion or political scene. In order to maintain your health mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, remember it's an inside job. Scientifically, they have discovered that the real organizing system in our human body is, in fact, our heart. With 40-some years of research that HeartMath has worked with various aspects of the heart has baroreceptors that take messages to the brain so that the brain can then help orchestrate, organize, and manage a coherent field for the systems in the body. One of the key factors for bringing balance to your heart is your breath. So when we start our evening together with the breath, you notice it's just a couple of seconds, and it makes a difference. So please remember to support yourself several times through the day with conscious breathing. Now, conscious breathing is completely different than your natural breathing. Because if we were consciously breathing, we'd be aware of every breath that we bring in and every breath that we release. Now, this wonderful body temple brings in that breath, and we don't have to think about every breath. It's a good thing. The way our minds wander, most of us would be suffocating. So when you choose to consciously breathe, you are working the brain and the heart as one mechanism, focusing on the breath. And when you think, consciously think about bringing in that breath to oxygenate every cell in your body and make space, then when you breathe out, you let go of the stress. Your mind can be a huge support in just a few conscious breaths. Now remember the other thing, drink water. Drink water, drink water, drink water. So many conditions that occur in our body occur from a lack of hydration. By the time we're thirsty, we're starting to be dehydrated. So just remember, no matter what's going on, where you are, wherever you are, you're breathing. So consciously focus on your breath. When you need to maintain your balance, when you need to let go of your fear, when you need to disengage yourself from someone else's stuff. There's a lot of stuff flying around out there. Ask yourself, whose problem is this? Don't jump in the middle of someone else's problem and then wonder how you got there. Consciousness is the key in our life right now, because consciousness is the true life on this planet. And when we chose to live in this magnificent costume called the human body, we made a major agreement. Living in this human body, we agreed that we would live on this planet whose universal law is change, and that change generates movement, and that movement generates space. So if our mind decides it doesn't want to change, can you see the stress that will come with that kind of thinking? So if we can know that true aliveness is change, it doesn't mean we won't have fear. It doesn't mean we won't feel insecure. Or we can feel joyous and excited. Whatever we feel, change is inevitable because it is the basis of aliveness. So in today's world of change, remember what's driving the change. Even when it looks like we might be absolutely illiterate or ignorant, what's really driving change is aliveness. Aliveness will always take over and move out that which is stagnant and no longer serving life. So when we talk about, I want to be healthy, what does that mean? And what do you mean when you say, I want to be healthy? Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it's all a big package. And you know what? Without this incredible body that you live in, there wouldn't be any personal movie. There wouldn't be any personal life. So living in your physical body is one of the most important thing is to focus on when you say, I want to be healthy. and then make that contribution to yourself by taking steps of action and making choices that will really support that. So in thinking about being healthy, our guest tonight, Dr. Deborah Yerman, was one of my first choices for several reasons. One being that, number one, I know the quality of this woman's work. I know her level of integrity. I've known her for 26 years. And I've seen her level of commitment to grow herself continuously in being healthy in every way that she's committed to. So I wanted you to have the opportunity to also meet Dr. Deb. She's been a chiropractor for 29 years here in the City of the Angels in Los Angeles. She's treated thousands of patients for a variety of conditions, some patients in pain and some patients who want to get healthy and stay healthy, working with prevention. Dr. Yerman believes the body has the ability to heal from within, and she loves teaching her patients about healthy lifestyles, as well as treating them with chiropractic care. Now, she uses non-force technique. If you prefer manual adjustment, that's also there. I don't know if you're familiar with muscle testing, but it's such a fabulous way to talk with the body and to help the emotional clearing, and using the total body modification, it's a great, thorough way to really find out what's behind those choices and to support you with nutritional counseling. Dr. Deb has appeared on the Today Show and a variety of radio programs, and right now, she has a private practice in Encino, California, 16161 Ventura Boulevard, suite number 106. This is the phone number, 818-995-4300. And this is the email, Yerman. Y-E-R-M as in Mary, A-N as in Nelly, C-H-I-R-O at AOL.com. Now, let me remind you that you can call in if you have questions for Dr. Deb during our show tonight. In the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-815-0756, and internationally a direct line to BBS Internet Radio, 530-876-3222. Now, let's welcome Dr. Deb. How are you tonight,
Dr. Deb? I'm doing great, Kay. Nice to talk to you.
So glad that you could make this time to be with us. And you know, there's so much, Deb, that people are talking about health, and there's many times things that seem very complicated. And I think in today's busy world where people are stretched, time, energy, money, every kind of thing, that we need to have the basics. And in your practice over the years, what do you think are the basic things that if we can even just focus on these things, we'll notice a difference in our health?
Well, Kay, I agree with you. The information that's out there now is so massive and so huge. And one of the things I notice with my patients coming into the office is that they're so stressed out about making any choices at all.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so many products and so much information. And I really believe that if we just get back to the basics and we simplify it for ourselves, that each time we make a good decision for ourselves brings us closer and closer to good health. And that it's not going to happen all at one time. We can't do everything at once. But if we can break it down and just start somewhere, as we start doing the little things that are good for us, we start feeling just a little bit better. And as we start feeling a little bit better, it's easier to make good choices for ourselves. So when you were talking about the water,
mm-hmm.
most people are walking around dehydrated.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. I after 29 years of practice, I never remember it being quite the way it is as what I'm seeing now.
Really?
And so, you know, if we were going to talk about nutrition or we're going to talk about the water, just if somebody is in the habit of, say, drinking a lot of sodas or a lot of juices, if they just start there and start replacing some of that with water and getting their system woken up and cleansed out a little bit, okay. they're going to notice just in that that their muscles feel better, their energy comes up, their elimination increases, all of those things.
You know, one thing that's been interesting to me, Deb, not only here in the United States but also in my work in Japan, is there seems to be this idea that if you drink a fluid or a liquid, that it works the same as water. And from my understanding, that's just not true. There's just nothing to replace water, is there?
That is just not true, Kay. The body has to work so hard, and especially with these sodas and diet sodas that people have a tendency to be drinking. Those are actually dehydrating to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so even with the fruit juices that we drink, it still has to go through different body systems. It doesn't just get flushed through like water does. And so the body is working harder when we're drinking our juices. Now, for those people who do love to drink juice, a good idea is to water it down 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps. But it still doesn't do the same thing in the body as if you're just drinking the water.
Now, I read that for every soda that someone consumes, they have to replenish and hydrate their body with 10 glasses of water. Is that true?
Wow. Well, I haven't heard that particular statistic, but I've heard a lot of different ones over the years. That's a little bit higher than what I've heard, but I think it's probably within the realm. And really, if we're going to be making these choices, that's a really good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just make a decision that just for 2 weeks, I'm going to get off the sodas and I'm going to go to the water and just see how I feel.
Right. Do a personal experiment.
Right. And just see. So you know it's not forever.
Uh-huh.
But if you do feel better or feel less moody or feel more energy, that's very motivating.
Yes, it is. And validating.
Right.
Now, Deb, I know there's a lot of concern also in a variety of corners about the diet sodas that have aspartame in them. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the information that's out about that, and there's a lot of different studies that have come out, but the bottom line to it is they're finding more and more conditions that it's causing. And that it really is something that should be really taken off the market and not used, and just not used. I mean, it's just, if we're going to be making choices for ourselves, that's a place that's a really good place to start.
So even if people are, you know, sometimes addicted to soda, if they even transferred from the diet soda to a regular soda, that is going to make a difference because they won't have the toxic condition going
right.
into their body. Then.
Right.
And then increase the water.
Right. And again, nothing has to be, my belief is that, as you said, we should all take a deep breath in and just slowly make change.
Right.
This is what I tell my patients. If you're drinking 5 diet sodas a day, or 5 sodas, just cut it down to 2 or 3 for a while. Just start the process And once you start putting some consciousness on it, and you start noticing that you feel a little better, it all becomes a little bit easier to make the change with.
Well, and Deb, don't you notice over the years that it's like our bodies are so incredible that if we just make, like you say, the smallest change, our body has an inherent and innate awareness of coherence and balance. And given the opportunity, that's what will happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, even talking a little bit about exercise and just walking. You know, Duke University did a study that showed middle-aged people who suffer from depression gained as much benefit from 30 minutes of walking three times a week as a comparison group did from taking antidepressants.
Wow.
So that's the Duke University study. So those little changes that we make or we add to our lifestyles affect us in such strong ways that we don't even have to know what they all are. We just have to know that we start feeling better, that we feel that we're not underwater, that we're starting to be able to get that breath in and starting to feel ourselves again.
So it's basically, Deb, it's like realizing that this body is designed with certain basic conditions. One is the body's three-fourths water.
Right.
So the fluids are incredibly important, and the body's designed for movement.
Right.
So if just those two things change, there's a much better possibility for some revitalization, isn't there?
Absolutely, without a doubt, and big change. I have people coming in all the time saying, you know, I should go to the gym, but I hate gyms, and I should be doing this exercise, and, you know, I just again say, let's take a deep breath together, and let's just start with the basics.
Right.
Just start walking. It's
uh-huh.
as beneficial. It starts us on that path.
Uh-huh. Now, the other thing that I notice, you know, with people just walking, that first of all, it's not rocket science. Our body's designed to walk. Now, we have to have some consciousness in crossing the street, but there's an amazing correlation. When your feet are moving, your brain gets to slow down.
Right.
And it gets to dispel some of that turmoil that just seems to be expanding in sitting and driving in stressful conditions. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. And along with that, to just further that along, not carrying anything and letting your arms swing when you walk
uh-huh.
is also what we call the cross crawl in kinesiology. And that's really starting the connection between putting the right side of the brain together with the left side of the body
uh-huh.
and vice versa. And by doing that, that also helps us come into our focus. And it just helps center us.
So that's a really important piece then, is to just have the natural walk, because not only is it helping the circulation, but then it's actually helping the electromagnetic field transfer between the left and the right hemisphere of the brain.
Right, exactly. And one other little trick that I learned from studying some of the Eastern Indian stuff is if you look as far away as you can, so when
uh-huh.
you're walking, instead of looking at trees that are very close or buildings that are very close, is you let your eyes go as far as they possibly can. And again, just notice in yourself how that feels when you're doing it versus when you're not.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of expands your vision. It just expands your ability to think a little bit. It's very interesting to experiment around with this.
You know, that reminds me of the Native American Indians with the phrase about to see the world from the eyes at the back of your head.
Mm.
And, you know, I had this visual perception that it was like, okay, well, out the back of my head are eyes that can see my history or where I've been or what's behind me. And then one day, and I literally think this happened when I was walking, that phrase came to my mind, and I really got it. what they're really saying is see with the limbic part of your brain, which is what manages your intuition and all of the systems. So I'm imagining extending the vision the way the Eastern Indians are talking also has to do with making more space.
Right.
And since that's the key that we seem to be looking at, Dr. Deb, is making more space. Now, the walking, the water, the exercise, the perception. Now, talk to us about the structural space because, oh my goodness, we're so compressed from the sitting and, you know, clothing and all kinds of things. So could you kind of tell us what's happening to our bodies now with all of this stuff we're not doing?
Well, I mean, coming from a chiropractic background, my focus and what I've seen over all these years is really if we have a healthy neurology, the neurology affects our biology. It affects every organ and every tissue in our body. And when the neurology is functioning properly, then the biology has the ability to function properly. And that's really what brings us into health and increases our quality of life. A lot of us are really sedentary right now. I have a lot of patients that come in that are in front of the computer all day long.
Uh-huh.
And so we're always making recommendations and giving specific stretching to get up and just to move the body once an hour and do some stretching or go out for a little walk or take a water break or do something that breaks that up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Stretching is a very important thing, and it's very easy to do, and it feels very good, and there's, you know, easy information out there that people can find about just how to stretch their body out, even by just standing there and bending forward and then rolling up one vertebra at a time.
Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, that process of stretching, Deb, they can also, while they're stretching, they can be taking their deep breaths also, can't they? So that they're bringing in the breath and stretching the body and releasing the mind so they can do two things at once.
Absolutely. When you were talking earlier about the conscious breathing, you know, as our bodies get stressed, if you notice when you're there, your breathing is so shallow.
Uh-huh.
We're barely breathing when we get stressed because everything is constricting in our body.
Uh-huh.
So when we catch ourselves doing that, stopping for that one moment and taking a couple of those conscious breaths in will, again, and this is, don't believe me, do it yourself and see how it feels for you.
Uh-huh.
It's just sometimes we forget to do that because we get into that cycle of shallow breathing and stress and we're moving so fast.
And, you know, with today's society being under such a high level of stress, even into our children, where they're discovering hypertension and blood pressure variations in 6- and 8-year-old children, I mean, that's abominable. And with that level of stress, what are you noticing that that's doing to our physical bodies? Is there a syndrome that's coming out of that, or is it still pretty personalized by each person's body?
There's such a syndrome that's coming out of this. For being in chiropractic, again, from my point of view, for as long as I have, in the older days, maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago,
uh-huh.
when we would have children or teenagers come in,
uh-huh.
they would maybe need 3 or 4 adjustments, and their body would be back in alignment, and we'd be sending them on their way.
Uh-huh.
And now when they come in, some of these kids and teenagers have more structural stress than some of the older patients that we see.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it has to do with the foods that we're eating, the backpacks that the kids are wearing.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's one of the things that I do try to teach people about is to wear the backpack on both shoulders if you're going to have to wear it and you know, take it off as soon as you can or get the ones
uh-huh.
with rollers.
Uh-huh.
But we are seeing a lot more it's like the shoulders are almost up to the ears in most people as opposed to just a few people that come in.
Oh, my gosh. So then that's affecting the atlas and the neck adjustment, the circulation, everything, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, part of what I do with my patients, along with giving them chiropractic, is we start down this path and we talk about which is the easiest avenue. Do you want to talk first about exercise? Do you want to talk about diet? Let's just very slowly and gracefully start adding in some of the good things so that it becomes habit. And as that becomes habit, then we add in more of the other good things.
Mm-hmm. And when the reward is actually feeling better, having more aliveness, feeling more rested, that's a good compensation.
Well, it's wonderful, and it also, Kay, is so motivating.
Mm-hmm.
When some people don't even realize how fatigued they are because they're moving so fast.
Yes.
And as they start feeling better, it becomes really easy to make choices that are better for us.
Uh-huh.
You have more of your right thinking on, is what I like to call it. It just becomes much easier because you don't want to start going back into what you were feeling before. And unfortunately, one of the big problems that we have is the lack of sleep.
I was going to ask you about that, Dr. Deb, because I have a lot of clients that are talking about sleep disruption, different than it's ever been. Some are having trouble falling asleep. Some fall asleep, but then they wake up maybe 4 hours later and have trouble going back to sleep. So you're noticing that in the practice?
Absolutely. And, you know, luckily there's some wonderful supplements now and different ways that we can work with that. But again, my focus is always on, let's take a look at what we can do without adding anything into the body first.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things, and again, it almost seems, I'm sure that everybody has heard this, but a lot of people are watching TV and they're watching the news before they go to bed.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And there's studies that have shown us that that disrupts our sleep.
Uh-huh.
And that it affects our dreams.
Uh-huh.
And I really recommend to people that when it comes towards the end of the evening, they try to keep the lights dimmer, maybe have some nice music on. If they have a book they like to read a little of that. But to let the body calm down and move into that instead of just going from busy, 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 news, what's wrong in the world, to sleep.
You know, I think that's so much more important than we even realize. And when I found out that our eyes, we don't really see with our eyes receive the light, and it's actually received in the brain, the base of the brain, so it causes stimulation of our biochemical responses.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we're sitting there thinking it's not bothering us, it's activating the biochemicals in our body, and if it's disturbing the biochemical, then it's going to influence our sleep level, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. And it really is important to get enough sleep. That's really one of the things that, if there's any way that any of your listeners can rearrange anything in their life to get to bed a little earlier, and then again, just see how you feel. See
mm-hmm.
how you feel after a couple of days, and
mm-hmm.
see if it makes a difference for you. We really need to learn to start listening to our bodies again.
Oh, I'm so glad you're mentioning that, because I think that's one of our biggest neglects, and I think it's the precursor to critical health issues.
You know, Kay, I have people coming in all the time telling me they have the normal morning headaches.
Wow.
And I want to go crazy. I go out of my mind saying, there is no such thing as a normal morning headache.
Wow.
But we've been so indoctrinated and so convinced that this is normal that it's really time to start changing our thinking. You know, if you go into a bookstore, there's probably hundreds and hundreds of diet books that are there for proper eating. not all of these different ways are good for everybody. But if people start eating, just go back to the basics and eat a little bit more, eat things that are more alive more often. You know, it's the 80-20. You eat 80% good and 20% you do what you want.
Right.
But if we would listen to our bodies as we're doing it, we could really design and find out what the foods are and what works for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we've gotten to this place for a lot of people where we eat something and if we get indigestion, we just take a pill for it.
Right.
And so I'm constantly trying to get people to backtrack a little.
Mm-hmm.
And just take a moment and, again, take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about what was your day. And then start designing it so that it works for you, for your body and your situation.
You know, Dr. Diana Schwarzbein, who has a clinic in Santa Barbara here in California and works a lot with pre-diabetic conditions and diabetics, one of her main things in shopping is, she said, to shop the outside walls of the store. And that's where either the produce is, the fresh foods, of course, the dairy items are there, because most of the shelves that are in the center of the store are non-food.
Interesting.
They don't require refrigeration. They don't require freezing. And so I thought, you know, after I read that, I started looking at the layout in most of the stores, and it's so accurate.
That's really great.
Isn't
that
amazing?
Great. Yes, absolutely.
And that makes it pretty easy. If we're shopping the middle aisles, we need to really be discretionary. Is this really a food?
Right.
Or has it been processed until it's bulk?
Right.
You know, I want to ask you a structural question that I have a concern about, and I don't know if I'm just making it up, but, you know, since the backpack has become such a big thing in our society, and I think it's a wonderful thing for so many reasons, and I have one concern because I see very young and small children with what seem to me to be a disproportionately large backpack so that they can't even stand straight. And I'm really wondering, does this affect their bone development?
Oh, Kay, this is such a major problem. This is such a problem that it has been on the news, it's been in the paper, it's been certainly a concern of chiropractors for, you know, we've been seeing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But never have I seen it as bad as it is now.
Wow.
And there was a time the schools were even going to try and cut the books in half so that they would have the first semester and the second semester lighter.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow that bill just got put out. But I'm seeing kids younger and younger coming in with real, true structural problems and headaches and symptoms that are going along with that, to where some of them, you know, when they first come in to see me, can't even sit in their seats in school because they're in pain.
Oh, my God.
So this is an epidemic. This is absolutely a problem, and there's been research trying to design, you know, better backpacks. And unfortunately, a lot of the kids won't use the ones with the rollers because it's not cool enough.
Right.
And this is absolutely something that does need our attention and does really should be brought to the attention of the moms and the dads to be keeping their eye on that.
Well, Deb, if they are using these backpacks and it's influencing their structure as they're growing, do they ever grow out of it, or does it impair their structure throughout their life then?
Well, it depends if they ever have any corrections made. If they go in and, you know, see a chiropractor or possibly an acupuncturist or somebody who deals with those kind of structural issues. We don't know what the long-term effects are going to be. We can only guess.
Right.
And I don't like what it is that we're seeing.
Yeah, it's just
because until these kids in this generation get older, we're really not going to have the statistics, you know.
Right.
But we certainly know enough about the nerves and structural positioning and what misalignments can do to our neurology.
Uh-huh.
And this is absolutely an issue that does need to be dealt with.
So I think a key thing that we really have to keep in mind is that since our body is a living vehicle designed that everything in it has life and fluidity and movement and change, it's like if our structure gets impaired and then it influences our nervous system, that's like a congestion on the freeway, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely.
It affects us
in so many ways, from our digestion to breathing issues to, besides the headaches and the back pain.
Uh-huh. And then another concern I have is, since pharmaceuticals have now become a major business and advertising to increase their sales, there's hardly a person living that can't find some of their symptoms that they're advertising. And so then it's like, okay, now you take this pill for this and this pill for this. But the structure is not going to be revitalized with pills.
It is so staggering amount of medications that people are on now. And again, I'm not against medications when they're appropriate medications.
Right.
But the advertising and the indoctrination that people are getting that if you have a pain, just take a painkiller.
Right.
Instead of, if you have a pain, then there's the body's telling you something. That pain is your friend. That pain is letting you know that there's something going on that needs attention. And if we just quiet it down or shut it up, those are the pains that turn into chronic conditions. And people end up, look at all the arthritis that we have.
Right.
And, a lot of with the digestive things they have out right now as well. Instead of saying to people, let's take a look at what you're eating and how it's affecting you, what people are choosing to do without even being aware of it sometimes is eating whatever it is that's in front of them and then taking a pill so the body doesn't cause them pain.
Right. So this brings me back to what we were talking about earlier, Deb, is learning to listen to our bodies again. And it's like there is a body language. The body expresses itself in structural proportions and movement. It expresses itself in, as you're saying, in the neurology and the pathways. And if we don't listen to the basics of drink water, because we're thirsty and because we need it, and exercise to promote the life, and rest.
Right.
To get some rest and to relax. If we don't honor our body enough with just the basic things, then it's ridiculous to think that we can generate health out of that neglect.
Right. One more thing I do want to say is that the body has the ability to regenerate itself. So if there's a listener that's hearing this and thinking, well, my God, though, I've been smoking.
Uh-huh.
It's never, ever too late to make a change in that and let the body regrow the tissues that it needs. So you have choices each moment. Even if you've been smoking for years, it doesn't mean that, well, I've already smoked for years, so I'm not going to stop.
Uh-huh.
Or if people have been drinking 10 sodas or drinking 10 coffees or eating only fast food, whatever that is, that we all have our little vices, it's never too late to just start making little changes. And if you're replacing the sodas with water, or if you're taking the fast foods down from 3 meals a day to 1 meal a day, all of those are great starts because it just lets your body get a little bit more of that health in it to make you want to do better.
Well, and that's so encouraging because I know sometimes when people have smoked for a long time or if they've had drug or alcohol and substance abuse or overeating or whatever conditions that can occur with the body, sometimes that very fact of feeling so hopeless,
right,
that it's like, that I've done this for too long, so then the judgment, the blame, the shame, and the guilt of all of this, and then promoting that to just continue. But with what you're reminding us, Deb, is that the body is so forgiving, given the opportunity to have more oxygen with fewer cigarettes, it's going to take more oxygen.
Right. Right.
And our cells keep regenerating themselves so that if we provide a healthier environment, the cells can be healthier. This is one of the things I am so loving in this book by Dr. Bruce Lipton. This book is called The Biology of Belief. And Dr. Bruce Lipton is a biochemist, and he's written a very, very profound, scientifically validated book on what Dr. Deb and I are talking about, is the cellular response to the environment that we provide and how it will regenerate given the opportunity to do that. Now, Deb, we've got the water, we've got the exercise, consciousness in food and eating. Could you talk a little bit and give people some guidelines? If they really want to start hearing their body, what are some of your suggestions to start learning that language, the language of the body?
The body lets us know things in subtle ways. You had mentioned earlier, if you're already thirsty, then your body is dehydrated. If you wake up tired every day, one of the things that you can do, now, you know, obviously if you need medical or chiropractic or alternative attention to it, then that's another thing. But one of the things that you can start doing is saying, okay, if I'm waking up tired, I want to see what I can do about getting a little bit more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
If we eat something and we notice after we've eaten that, that we are so spaced out that we absolutely cannot focus,
mm-hmm,
to save our lives,
mm-hmm,
chances are maybe there was a little bit too much sugar in there and your system wasn't handling it,
mm-hmm,
or some kind of underlining little allergy. If you're getting sinus, issues after having orange juice or dairy or chocolate,
mm-hmm,
it's just becoming more aware of there's a cause and effect to most things. And so it's just putting our attention back on ourselves for one moment. It's like that conscious breathing. It's just turning our awareness back into our body. And once you start getting used to doing that, the information that the body will give you is tremendous.
So it really, if we start small and just start listening, then our own sense of being able to trust our body to guide us with food, with exercise, and with sleep, the basics, the body will really become a very verbal partner in letting us know what works and doesn't work, won't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And what do you think? Are you noticing our children, are they aware of their bodies, or have we trained them to be unconscious as the adults are?
I am actually noticing that the children I have coming in are more educated than their parents are.
Wow.
And more aware of what they're eating and how it affects them. I'm so impressed with the kids that I've seen in this last year of their knowledge base. It's
wow.
Like it's taking a whole turn around, whatever education is going on now.
Uh-huh.
These kids are getting it. They're getting it about the health of their body, about the safety of our planet. They're really seemingly more conscious than I ever have could have imagined, or I find that so refreshing.
Boy, that is refreshing. About what age is this that are that you're noticing?
I'm having kids coming in from 12 on, from,
wow,
you know, 12 up through the junior high school ages. Even some of the littler ones that come in. They'll tell me that they tell their mom not to have the diet sodas, or they'll tell on them and say, Dr. Debbie, mom was drinking diet sodas again. So they're getting the information, and they're remembering it. It's us adults that are pretending like it's not there.
Well, that certainly is encouraging, isn't it? And so when they say in the child shall lead us, that it appears that there is a lot of consciousness in our children.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, along with all of this being healthy and how our body is affected by it, you had talked about the spiritual and the mental and the physical, and taking a moment out, as well as the breathing, to just stop for a moment to be grateful for what we have done. It's like I love the saying, celebrate all wins. Celebrate your wins. So if you do start changing some of these habits around in your life, stop for a minute and congratulate yourself. Don't give yourself a hard time because you didn't do everything. It's just each phase is just the next step. And if we just stop and we acknowledge ourselves a little bit, it changes all of those hard feelings that come up.
You know, I think that's so important, and there's a strong layer of news and information coming out with that Dr. Masaru Emoto, who, from Japan, working with the water, the messages of the water. He talks about the most beautiful crystals that come out of the water that have been infused with love and gratitude. And then Mary Manon Morrissey was talking about this. It was actually an acupuncturist. She didn't mention his name, but this was a phrase that he had that I love in relationship to what you're saying, Dr. Deb. Gratitude invokes the law of increase.
Mm.
Appreciation is the great multiplier.
Wow, that's great.
And I know from the studies that the Institute of Heart Math has done, that they have found conclusive scientific demonstrations that frustration tightens all of the cardiovascular system and the respiratory system, and literally frustration is not an emotion, it's a physiological condition that is shutting the systems down.
Mm-hmm.
Reducing the oxygenation and the flow, and appreciation. So when this says appreciation is the great multiplier, that they have found if we just are in appreciation, that it expands the physical space in our cardiovascular system, in our breathing, in our muscular structure, which allows more oxygenation through the body, which means more life.
Right.
So just what you're saying about just simple things, water, breathing, exercise, sleep, and gratitude,
mm-hmm,
and appreciation. And if we just focus on those each day in very small ways, I know our body temple will give us a different message. So it's amazing to me, Dr. Deb, that we are just about out of our hour here. I'm so happy that you could come and be with us, and I do hope you'll come back again, because I know health is an ongoing desire, issue, and condition, so you're always learning so many new things, and it's wonderful to know what is happening across our society. So I want to just remind our audience that you've been listening to Dr. Deborah Yerman, Yerman Chiropractic, my dear friend and wonderful, wonderful practitioner, a chiropractor for over 29 years. that has definitely stepped out of the box and embraces so many supporting systems for your well-being. She's located at 16161 Ventura Boulevard, that's suite number 106, that's in Encino. 91436 if you want to MapQuest it. Phone number 818-995-4300. So do remind yourself that you deserve to be healthy. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be safe. And it's time for you to give yourself permission to love and honor you first. What does the airline tell us to do? Put your oxygen mask on first. Not your children, not the person next door to you. It is time for you to honor you first. Now, as you honor you first and appreciate the life that you are, your flow and fountain of aliveness will increase, and in that increase, you will have so much to share in the world. So I want you to stay in touch. I want you to know you can go on my website, www.globalfamilyeducation.com. And I have a free teleconference call if you'd like to review my books and hear some information about them before you purchase them. The number is 212-990-7370. And you've been listening to Global Family Live. Next week, I will actually be coming live from Kauai. I am on my way to Japan for the month of October, and I have very special guests that have been recorded for you to hear while I am in Japan. Next week, my special guest is Suzanne Franzen, and our topic is Just Say Yes. So thank you so much for your participation tonight, Dr. Deb, and for all of your years and commitment to wellness for so many of us.
Thank you very much. It was just an honor to be on the program with you.
Well, thank you, and we'll look forward to having you again.
Thank you.
And I want to just say to our beloved audience, just keep breathing. Just keep in gratitude and take your life one moment at a time so that it can be easier and easier. So ano ai ko alehele. Blessings on your journey. Ahui ho. Until we meet again. Aloha.